We welcome you this morning to St. Paul's, whether you are here in person or listening on KFUO, as we continue our study of the book of Acts. And today we are in Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Now, as we talked about last week, Paul is now on his second missionary journey. But before he goes to new cities, he always visits where he had been before to check on the believers there, to check on those he had preached the gospel to at that time. Now, so verse 1. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. He had been to both those cities on his first missionary journey. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. Now, we believe that Timothy and his mother, and her name is Eunice, we know that from second book of Timothy. Her name is Eunice. They probably were Jewish converts from Paul's first missionary journey and were now believers. Okay? But his father was a Greek. Okay? So he was a Gentile. So Gentile father, Jewish mother. Under Jewish culture, if your mother was Jewish, you were considered Jewish. Okay? So he would have been considered a Jew, even though his father was Gentile. And that's going to make a difference as we read in a moment. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. They knew of him. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, we've been reading over and over again how Paul was opposed to circumcision to new converts. And why would he do that in this case? Our understanding would be this. If Timothy was going to go with him on his missionary journeys, where was the first place that Paul always went when he came to a new city? Correct. And if he went there and Timothy was uncircumcised, he would be known as an apostate Jew, which would make it much harder for Paul to begin preaching the gospel there if he was in the company of an apostate Jew. So Paul circumcised him to remove any barrier that he would have in preaching the gospel in the Jewish synagogue. We have the case of Titus, who he refused to circumcise, okay? But Titus was a Gentile. He had no Jewish background. Therefore, he refused to force Titus to be circumcised. But in the case of Timothy, he did this not because he had to be circumcised to be saved, but to remove one of the barriers that could stand in Paul's way of teaching the gospel in a synagogue. So that's why Paul did this. Okay? That's why Paul did this. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. All right, so they carried with them, and remember, Silas is with Paul now. Silas was the one who was appointed by the disciples in Jerusalem to carry that letter explaining their stance about circumcision in the Jews to the people. So this is probably Silas making this presentation to tell the people in these regions where Paul had been on the first missionary journey, no, you do not need to be circumcised. Now, we get into this right here because Paul had written a letter to the Galatians, okay? And we studied that letter. And the principal theme of that letter is you do not have to be circumcised to become a Christian. And if you are circumcised and rely on that, then you're not a Christian, okay? The question becomes, if Paul wrote that letter and it was his first letter, then they already had the letter before Paul and Silas got there the second time. Okay? If you try to date all this stuff, they would have well had that letter before. If you go, but here's why it's complicated, folks. Nothing's easy. There's the Southern Galatian theory and the Northern Galatian theory. The Southern Galatian theory is that Galatians was Paul's first letter and that it was written to those whom he had visited in southern Asia Minor and Turkey on his first missionary journey. The northern Galatian theory is that it was written to those who were farther north and that it was a later letter. Okay? I was taught by the professor I had at the seminary that it was the Southern Galatian theory. So it's very possible that even before the letter from the apostles in Jerusalem got to these people, Paul had already written them the letter to the Galatians. But we're just trying to piece together things we can't say for sure, okay? But just to tell you that's out there, and there's always that debate, had they already heard this from Paul in his letter to the Galatians? And that means that Paul would have written this letter probably about 49 AD, and sent it to the Galatians. Okay, so what's the sum of all this? The sum is, so the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Okay, daily. So But the church was growing even in this region. Now, Paul has visited these churches, and now he's ready to move on. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Okay, so they were in southern, as we would say, Turkey. Probably their desire, again, this is some speculation, was that they were going to go to Ephesus. Okay? Ephesus. But the Holy Spirit forbid them from going. We don't know how he forbid them, hit Paul in the head with a hammer or whatever he did, but he forbid them from going. Now, so they turn north and they attempted, and when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So they couldn't go west, and they couldn't go north, northeast. Bithynia was up there, and so they were in Mysia. And they went down to Troas. Now they're up at the very top where Turkey makes the turn and then goes down into Greece. They're up there. It should be noticed, by the way, did anybody ever go to Bithynia? Well, Peter's first letter is addressed to those who are in Bithynia. So whether Peter got there or not, we don't know, but he wrote a letter to them. Now, so passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now there's something significant in verse 10. Suddenly, it's we, which means Luke was with them. We don't know why he was in Troas, but he was with them. So we're talking about Luke, Timothy, Paul, and Silas. So we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, which is an island, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi. Now, Neapolis is considered the seaport of Philippi. It's south of it. Philippi is not on the sea, but Neapolis is considered the seaport. So then they went up to Philippi. Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. Now, Philippi, it got its name from Philip II, who was the father of Alexander the Great. Okay, so a little history there. The city was named after Alexander the Great's father. Okay, And it was a leading city. It was a major city in Macedonia and a major Roman colony. This is no backwater town. This is big stuff. Okay? Big stuff. And we remained in this city some days. Okay? And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. We conclude, based on this, there was no synagogue in Philippi. What did you have to start a synagogue? 10 Jewish men. So evidently, even though there may have been Jewish women, there were not Jewish men. So they had to find another place to begin their proclamation. Okay? And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. Okay? In other words, the God of Israel. The God of Israel. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. The verb there is an imperfect, which implies that she kept on hearing. She wanted to hear more. Okay? That's what it's emphasizing. She was a very attentive listener to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. The words there mean she would not take no for an answer. Okay? She would not take no for an answer. They were going. This also emphasizes something that is well known. The women of Macedonia were very strong and very independent. So here you are. Take it or leave it. Now, so they are at the home of Lydia. In the story of what happened at Philippi, there are three people that Paul directly has contact with and are converted. Three. The three people are very different, very different circumstances. But it's worth noting that these three interactions are important. The first one was Lydia, okay, a Jew that was converted. Now the second. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination, and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation." Now, we're not saying that she was possessed by the Holy Spirit. Even the demons in the Gospels knew who Jesus was. So this is a demon that knows full well the proclamation of the gospel and what they're about. This is an evil spirit, okay? But proclaimed the way of salvation. And this she kept doing for many days. And Paul's had enough. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her that very hour. Okay, so this is the second person Paul had direct contact with. So let's see what then occurs. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. That's not totally true. To be a Christian was not illegal in the Roman Empire. To try to make other people Christians was. Okay? So they are being accused of proselytizing. Okay? The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. All right. When they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Okay? Now, Paul was a Roman citizen. He was beaten without a trial. That's going to come up in a few verses. Okay? Paul knew how to play this card at the right time. About midnight, Paul and Silas. We assume that Timothy and Luke, yeah. Timothy and Luke were not arrested. It was Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. That sounds odd, but they must have had some, well, let's just say they were influential men. Okay? And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Okay. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. This man was probably either a Roman soldier or a former Roman soldier. And when your prisoners escaped, the only upstanding thing you could do was kill yourself. That was his choice, which he was about to do. But Paul cried with a loud voice, Do not harm yourself, For we are all here. That's another unique thing. I mean, we can see why Paul and Silas were. You'd have thought the other prisoners made a bolt for the door when everything fell off, but they were all there. Okay? They were all there. All right. And the jailer called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, that's debated a lot. What must I do to save my own skin now that you're loose? Or salvation? We don't know. We don't know. But Paul and Silas took it to be the real thing. And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved and your household." As Lutherans, we all know this passage. It's called a sedes doctrinae, a seat of doctrine, because it's so clear and so easy, you can base a doctrine on it. And that is that by faith alone, you receive salvation. No works are included. Nothing he had done. He was not being rewarded. It was by faith alone in Jesus Christ. And so it is a very important passage for us in the New Testament. And your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. So evidently this jailer took them from the jail to his own home. Okay? And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized. That's a great sentence. He washed their wounds, they washed away his sins. All in the same verse. All in the same verse. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. All right. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. The actual words are there. He pulled out the table. Okay? Which means they had table fellowship, food together. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Okay. This is the third person now Paul has had direct contact. Lydia, the slave girl, and now the jailer. Okay? The jailer. Those are the three accounts. Very different people, very different occupations. But Paul's message touches them all. Touches them all. But when it was day, the magistrates sent the police saying, "Let those men go." Usually, they would not have put them in jail. They probably figured a night in jail taught them a lesson. And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned." That word uncondemned is very important. No trial. No trial. uncondemned, men who are Roman citizens. Evidently, Silas was a Roman citizen too. This is the first time that's revealed. Okay? Men who are Roman citizens. All right. And have thrown us into prison, and do they now throw us out secretly? Okay? No. Let them come themselves and take us out. Okay? Now, the police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. In other words, the city rulers were in violation of Roman law. They were in violation of Roman law, and they were now the ones who were in trouble, not Paul and Silas. They had gone too far. They had overreacted and had not followed the law. So they came and apologized to them. And they took them out and asked them to leave the city. Okay? So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia. And when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. So that's Philippi. Now, Paul wrote a book to the Philippians, but it would have been written much later. Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians from Rome, when he was in prison in Rome. And it was probably as late as 60-61 A.D., okay, after he was imprisoned in Rome, after his shipwreck and all of that. So it was much later that he wrote the letter to the Philippians.
What year does this take place?
I don't know. We don't know. Okay. We're gonna put some things together in chapter 17. If we had to put a date on it, it was late 50 or 51 A.D. Okay. And we know it was around 51 A.D. because of something we're going to read in chapter 17 that has been confirmed by archaeology. The letter to the Thessalonians, he's going to go to the Thessalonians. The letter to the Thessalonians was written in 51 AD, we believe. Okay? So it's right around that time, okay, that we're placing this. Okay, let's look at a little more here. And when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, okay? So they now round the horn and they're going south towards Athens, okay, true Greece. They're still in Macedonia. But they're traveling, and they come to Thessalonica, and there was a synagogue there. And Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ." So he is once again using the Jewish knowledge of the Old Testament in the synagogue to say this Jesus is the Messiah that is spoken of throughout the Old Testament as the one who suffered and rose again from the dead. And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. Remember I told you women of Macedonia were independent? Okay. But the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason. Evidently, this was the house where they were staying. Okay. Or they were staying, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And Jason has received them, and they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." That sound familiar? What was he accused of before Pontius Pilate? Being another king. Okay? And the people and the city authorities were disturbed when they heard these things. And when they had taken money as security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Okay. The city rulers here are much smarter than those in Philippi. Jason basically played a bribe to the city authorities. And that bribe probably assured that Jason would get them out of town. That's probably what the security was for. Get them out of town. And they let them go. Well, Paul and Silas were not there. They could not even have a trial. They couldn't do anything because they couldn't find them. Now, did Paul and Silas have the heads up? They may have, okay? But they weren't there. So they leave Thessalonica. Okay. They leave Thessalonica. They didn't want to. They had believers that were there. They wanted to encourage and support them. But they were forced out. This is why we believe that when Paul got to Athens, he wrote 1 Thessalonians, because he wanted to write to the people he had to leave so quickly. And his letter to them is to make contact with them after he had been run out of town. If you believe in the southern Galatian theory, then Galatians is first. If you believe in the northern Galatian theory, then 1 Thessalonians is first. But which one you believe does not depend on your salvation. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Not when Thessalonians was written. Okay? This is all history. All things we're trying to piece together through what happened. Okay? So Paul and Silas go to Berea. And by the way, suddenly the we passages stop. Luke's not here. We'll pick it up. He comes back, but not now. Okay? Not now. All right, time for questions, comments.
I just wanted to comment on the perspective of the early church at Derbe and Lystra and so forth, where it talks about, first of all, Timothy's mother and grandmother were Christians. Yes. So from Paul's first journey, perhaps, probably. And it talks about Timothy being known of in Derbe and Lystra and so forth. those towns were over 100 miles apart. So you get the idea that the Christian community had already networked between the time of Paul's first visit and this second visit. They knew each other in a region that is like from here to Kansas City. These churches knew of who the fellow Christians were, what they were all about, who was Jewish and who wasn't. I mean, it's kind of an amazing thing when you think about the structure of this early church in only 3 or 4 years.
Yes, it is. And you have to put this, they knew that what they believed was unique. And therefore, they sought people who believed the same things. They were searching for people that would believe the same things. You also have to remember, these people walked. There is no rapid transit. They walked from city to city. So, yes, Bud, you would have to say it's a God thing that he's connecting these people who are believers in the Lord Jesus so they have support. So they have support, which is the purpose of the church. Yeah.
Do we know how Luke ended up there? Like, what's the connection? How did Luke end up with them in the first place?
We have no idea why Luke was in Troas and suddenly met up with them, or why he was not with them in Thessalonica and Berea, but he comes back. We have none of that. We have no information.
The verse that you were referring to, verse 31, about believe in the Lord Jesus.
Right.
Could that be taken as some do as accepting Jesus as our Savior, or I made the decision to do that?
Not if you're a Lutheran.
Well, I know, but but you know, this basically says he, you know, you do this, and I can see how that would very easily be taken that way.
But we have to remember that from what we read, faith and belief are worked by the Holy Spirit. So you can say, I believe, but it's the Holy Spirit that has worked it in you. Yeah.
Well, he didn't recite the Samaritan parable there when he said believe. And that was, I had that same question. Was he administering law or gospel there?
It has to be gospel because it's believe in the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Well, if you love the law, have at it. Burn, baby, burn.
I enjoy hearing about Paul's, shall I say, I think he's a good politician.
He is.
I don't think he did this because of his own ego, where he pointed out he was a Roman citizen and made them escort them out of town. But actually, I think he was thinking about the church as a whole. And this, to me, this was legitimizing this teaching that these are good people, these are worthy people.
Yeah.
Because that word would get through the community. And so I think he was showing people that this was a good movement. It was worthwhile.
And he did not seek retaliation or revenge. He did not.
Related to what Nicole and Dennis said, in regard to what was happening in verse, what was it, back 31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them and baptized them all. I have tried to explain that often to people, and sometimes we can come up with the conclusion that other people are baptized on someone else's faith, and that's not right either. Can you explain that whole balance between law and gospel and that
Well, what it's saying is that he was the head of the household, and he would have his faith would be become the faith of those in his household, and then they would be baptized.
All the time.
Yes, it is.
Because I don't know that people always understand it that way. That baptism is always total gospel.
It is always total gospel.
So we don't have to come to faith and then be baptized. We're baptized, it's a gift. I've tried to explain we do not withhold baptism from infants. And that seems to help people understand. Because a lot of times people believe you have to come to faith before you're baptized.
Well, you do if you're an adult. Right. But not an infant. We don't believe in the age of accountability. You have to grow up and be of certain age so you can say, I believe. We don't believe that.
Was Timothy still with him here or not?
I don't know.
So same as Luke then?
Yeah. We know it was Paul and Silas because they're referred to. But I don't know, you know, if at some point something happened, but... We'll watch for that as they go along and see if we can identify who is with whom on these missionary journeys. Yeah. All right. Anything else? Okay. We will pick up at Berea next week in chapter 17, and then we go to Athens and to Corinth. Okay? Athens and to Corinth. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.